Well, bless your hearts. Today is Sunday, October 21st, 2018. Have you read you're seated in the heavenlies, but you still feel down in the dumps? Let's begin in Psalm 40. I don't know of anyone who wants to have a bad day to feel down in the dumper. In Psalm 40, verse 2, it says, "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going." Verse 10, "I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart." Well, here's your trouble right there. "I have declared thy faithfulness and salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness, thy truth from the great congregation." You know, I talk to everybody in church. I'm always witnessing, I'm always doing this, and yet I still feel down in the dumps at times. Verse 11, "Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me." Psalm 119:11 tells us, here's what he needed to do first thing, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Satan's great attack is to try to break the hold the word has on our hearts and replace God's outlook on your life with the broken-hearted thoughts of loneliness, shyness, fear, all the other negatives about you. In Psalm 40, verse 2, the word pit is a cistern. It's kind of like a septic tank. I know we had ours cleared out, and it was a mess. You know, you lift the lid off, and there's just dung and all that stuff all the way across it from all the toilets emptying into it. It doesn't smell good. It's sticky stuff. It's hard to wash off. In Jeremiah 38, verse 6, Jeremiah was sent to the children of Israel. God sent him to reprove them and call them back to himself. But they got aggravated with him because what they were already preaching and what their view of the world was different than Jeremiah's. And Jeremiah was telling them, come on back to God. It's beautiful. It's lovely. So they took Jeremiah and cast him in the dungeon. That's the same word that is translated pit or cistern of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. It was just that sludge at the bottom after you clean out the cistern, after you drain it out. After you drain out the septic tank, you just have this sludge that's, you know, maybe a foot deep or maybe more that's left in there. And you got to keep pouring water in and sucking it out till there's nothing left in the tank. But dung was in the cistern, and that is what the miry clay is. So his feet were stuck down in the you-know-what. It's something. A lot of times we know all these great truths and we get our feet stuck in the mire. The word horrible is noisy. It's filled with clamor. It means that there's so much noise going on inside your head that you can't even think straight. All these attacks, all these accusations and things that are hitting you, noises of condemnations, accusations, and even nowadays, threatenings. Jeremiah 48, verse 45, let's go there. It says, "They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force, but a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones." The word tumultuous means sons of noise. It's the same word that's translated horrible. It's just this constant racket going on, constant bullying and all of that stuff. The roarings against you. Sometimes you just like to just shut them off. Maybe you might wish you had no emotions in life. If I just get rid of all the emotions, that would be good for me. Well, that's not a solution. Because without emotions, life would be boring, bland, lifeless. How would you experience joy if you had no way to register it? And God was so loving, He gave us a full array of emotions, and He is ready to help. He has equipped us so that we can control our emotions, so they remain within bounds, they don't get the best of us. Emotions are to be enjoyed. Many people, and many who are Christians, find their emotions are out of control. And their emotions are what's controlling them. But fear not. Even though emotions are intended to be a positive thing from God, they can also be the very thing Satan uses to attack us with. Jesus came, though, that we might have life and have it how? More abundant, that's right. So what we should be enjoying is the positive emotions from what He accomplished for us. That includes emotional health. We can live emotionally stable lives. Pick up the reins of your mind and take control you are meant to have. You know, you learn to drive a 350 horsepower car, block car, automobile on the highway at 65 miles an hour for mile after mile after mile. You can even control that aspect of life. But follow God's instructions, we can ride the level plane from joy to peace and back again, down a hill and up again, without stress and without strife. Before we actually get started, we have to remove the big lie. The lie that we have no control over our lives and emotions. You know, S happens. No, it doesn't. It's pre-planned and executed on schedule by our personal adversary that brings these things against us. Look at Job 16 and in verse 5. It says, "But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged," because they weren't telling him the word and telling him what God's report of him was. God said that he was a great man. God said that he was a righteous man. God said that he was, in God's eyes, wonderful, great. But they weren't repeating that to him. "I forbear. And what am I eased?" You know, talking about it doesn't necessarily help unless you're talking to someone you can trust who's going to give you the word and bring you up out of the mire and set your feet upon the rock and establish your way, help you get established. "I forbear, and what am I eased?" You know, you can't put it on the back burner without first turning down the heat. Going to the word and turn down the heat. Otherwise, it's just going to keep bubbling over. Look at Job 23. It says in verse 1, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him.'" He's talking about the daysman who would restore him back to his place, restore him back to the Word, restore him back to you as one seated in the heavenlies. Well, not necessarily for Job, but in our administration, restore people back to being seated in the heavenlies with eternal life. That I might come even to his seat. You know, we're told come boldly to the throne of God, that we might find grace in time of need, grace to help in time of need. But we have that gift within us, that gift of Holy Spirit, where we can make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We can design the greatest, most elegant and complicated prayer that you could ever think of, and hand out sheets and we could all say it together. But the greatest thing that we can do is that utilize that gift of Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues the wonderful works of God and making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's more of a blessing to people. Maybe a blessing to the person who sits down and writes it out to hand it out to people and thinks of all these elegant things to say. But the greatest thing that we can do is utilize the gift that's in us and praise God but by that gift with perfect prayer, perfect praise. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say, because with that gift, we can hear from God. He can speak to us, we can hear from him, and we can put what he's telling us into action immediately. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. We're strengthened by that Christ within us, that gift of Holy Spirit. And the more we speak in tongues in our prayer life, the more edified we become. We build up that spirit within us by speaking in tongues much in our lives. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. And that's the adversary who's judging him and says he stands before God and accuses us every day, day after day. Job knew he needed a comforter. In John 18, Jesus knew it also. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send, if I go to my Father, I will send the comforter, or he will send you a comforter. And he did. On the day of Pentecost, it came. And we've had that comforter. What are we doing with it? You know, why spend your time down in the dumps when you've got the comforter within you to bring comfort immediately? Even though emotions are intended to be positive things from God, they can also be the very thing Satan uses to attack us. Jesus came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. That includes our emotional health. Before we can actually get started, we have to realize that we do have control over our lives, and we do have control over that spirit that he's given to us. And we can speak in tongues at will. But we have authority over our enemy, because that's what Jesus Christ said. Behold, I give you authority. I give you power, authority over all the power of the enemy. That's everything he says, everything he accuses us of, everything he directs our way. We have the right to command it to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, and because our prayers work and our intercessions are effective. When we pray for someone, there is an effect. Luke 10:19 says, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why allow him to stand there and accuse you and hurt your heart? You know, Obviously, we've done things wrong, and it hurts to have it stuck in our face. But we can always confess it to God, and if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, so we're clean. That the as I said, Satan uses emotions against us, and they are pre-planned and scheduled to bring reaction that correspond with his overall plan to distract and cause imbalances. And it's easier to move someone who's imbalanced. That's the whole key to jiu-jitsu and a lot of those martial arts. You use the person's own weight and out of balance to get them where you want them to be. Well, Ephesians 1 says, chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The word worthy means with balance. It's the word axios, imbalance. You know, so you're not stumbling around. You're in balance, not stumbling along. You're in balance. When the adversary brings the attack, you bring the word and set the truth. Job said, my righteousness I will hold fast and will not let my heart condemn me as long as I shall live. Great point. But he didn't have the comforter, but we have the comforter within. And we have the ability to comfort one another. That's why it's people call and say, would you speak in tongues for me because I have some situations? And you know what I do? I speak in tongues and I make intercession for them according to the will of God. And it's effective. It works. My prayers work. My intercessions are effective. They don't fall. Let's look at Psalm 138. And in verse 3, it says, in the day when I cried, thou said, wait, come back tomorrow, I'm busy. I haven't got time today. Did you look at my schedule? Goodness sakes. No, thou, in the day when I cried, thou what? Answerest me, and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul. Examine me, Psalm 26, verse 2. Let's go there. Psalm 26, verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Why get a hold of the reins? Well, let's go to James chapter 3, verse 3. Where it tells us, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. We can turn how much does a horse weigh? 2,000 pounds, 2,500 pounds? We turn them around with just a tug on the reins or leaning the reins up against their neck as we've taught them. And, you want them to turn to the left, you lay the right rein over his neck, and he knows, I got to go that way. So with just a bit, we turn the horse completely around. But we can turn our life around. Grab hold of the reins of your mind, and with the power of the word, we can turn it around. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 8. I wanted you to look at this. There are some terrible things happening in Jerusalem and among the people of Israel. And in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12, it says, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, neither fear ye their fear. That's right. The word confederacy is actually the word conspiracy or treason. So who's going to overthrow the kingdom of God? Don't be afraid of everything everyone else is terrified of. Don't let others' fears become your fears. Neither be afraid. You can be emotionally strong, as Peter and John said, "Lord, behold their threatenings." God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we've got everything we need. God has generously given to us abundantly everything we need so that we don't have to be stuck in the mire with our feet in the doo-doo and stuck in the mire trying to figure, how am I going to get out of this? This is terrible. It stinks. I'm uncomfortable. It smells. Researchers, power, love, and a sound mind are not just emotions. They are spiritual power and have force to drive out the darkness and the negativity, the anxieties, the fears, and all of that stuff that holds us captive. Researchers have concluded that fear, anger, depression, anxiety, and hope, patience, peace, and a variety of other emotions play a role in our mental and physical health or unhealthiness. The way we stay healthy is really by the word that's been given to us and by rebuking those negatives when they come in and not standing for the attack and let yourself be bullied by the enemy by what he has to say. They are distinctly two groups of emotions, faith-based and fear-based. All positive emotions are produced by faith-based thoughts. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. He hath made me righteous. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thoughts and emotions are connected. They produce effects or reactions in the body. Obviously, faith-based will trump fear-based every time. What you think is linked to how you feel. So if you're feeling down in your down in the dumps, it's linked to what you think. What have you been thinking? What have you been chewing on? What have you been ruminating in your mind and in your heart? In Proverbs 23, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, says he to thee, but his heart is not with thee." But God's heart is always with us. All negative emotions evolve out of fear. That's the ultimate trump card that he always tries to, or his trump, the adversary's trump card that he tries to lay on us. All positive emotions are produced by faith-based thoughts. If you don't have any positive emotions, read the word properly. Feed your faith, starve your fears. Proverbs 23, verse 7 in the Darby translation says, "For as he thinks in his soul, so is he. Eat and drink, will he say unto thee, but his heart is not with thee," because his soul is not with you. So why regard it? You know, we have people threatening us on their campaigns and things like that. Romans 12:2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We believe what we believe for a reason, because it can be proved. And many people have proved it in their lives. There's a translation I've read that says, "Don't allow yourself to be squeezed into the mold." Don't allow yourself to be squeezed into the world's mold. They keep pushing you and try to push you into the mold. Well, if you're jello inside, spiritually jello, you know, you'll fit the mold. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So what way should I go, Father? Go the perfect way. Good to go the good, acceptable, and perfect way. Romans 12:2 from the New International Version. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2 from the NET, New English Translation. Do not be conformed to this present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may test and approve what is the will of God, which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Always under pressure. Well, if you're always under pressure, it's just from gas, from the gas bags. Let it out. Let the Holy Spirit, his gift in you, work in you to transform you. Don't be conformed, be transformed. Be conformed to the image of Christ in you. Be transformed to the image of Christ in you. Conform means to fashion oneself. Don't let the devil scare you to conform you to the world, but be transfigured from the inside out. Not under pressure, but you blossom outwardly. In Matthew 17, verse 2, it says of Jesus, was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. He's not stressed out, he was transfigured. And we can be the same thing. Allow the greatness of the word that lives in your heart to show out in your life in every aspect. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Or the eyes of your heart being enlightened or filled with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What did he call you to? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to who? Usward. Who do one thing? What? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1, verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And what did he think about the church when you read the church of Israel? He loved it. It was his bride. And he gave himself for it. Well, he gave himself for us. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in what? So we're completely filled with that gift of Holy Spirit, God in Christ in you. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heaven. That's your place. You know, somebody says, I'm going to go put him in his place. Well, I hope you put him seated in the heavenlies, because that's his place. put him in his rightful place in the heavenlies. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1, when it talks about which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, the scriptures actually read, beyond the heavenlies. He shot clear through the heavenlies. So do the stars affect us? No. Horoscopes mean nothing to us. Neither your little treat after you've eaten your Chinese meal. And you read that little piece of paper, and we've learned numbers, and we've learned how to say Chinese words. They don't have an effect on us. No horoscope or witch's curse can affect us or touch us. We're so far beyond. We're seated in the heavenlies, looking down, not falling from the heavenlies and in the dumps. Ephesians 2, verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them, not have your feet mired in the miry clay. We can't be touched by the world and the spirits of the world. We should not allow them to touch us. We're far above all principality, power, might, and dominions. That's right. We should not allow them to touch us. Get your hand off me, dadgummit. You're not dragging me down. And you can't get up here to push me down. I'm seated in the heavenlies and I'm looking down on the world. In Titus chapter 3, it tells us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us how? Abundantly through Jesus Christ. This is not a fresh bestowing of the Spirit, but a revival of his power in our lives, developing the Christian life. That's why we want to speak in tongues much in our private lives, because that edifies the Spirit, builds us up in the inner man. That's what we want to do. Developing the Christian life. This passage stresses the continual operation of the indwelling Spirit of God in Christ in you, the willing response of the beloved one. So don't allow your responses be only to the negatives. Allow the responses in your life be to the positive. Blessings happen in your life. I immediately speak in tongues, giving God the praise and the glory, and building myself up in the inner man. Acts chapter 17, verse 6 says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Well, don't let the world shake you up. You shake up the world. Turn it upside down. It tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 32, that's the Christian Standard Bible. Patience is better than power, and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city. The word patience is be slow to anger. Ruling your spirit, controlling your emotions, you are safe and secure. That's the way God wants it for us. So stay seated in the heavenlies, looking down on the earth, because we've got the victory. God bless.